worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to begin with to look in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Verses 1 through 20, Luke chapter 2. Thank you, Father, once again for the fact that you loved us so, so much, that you sent your blessed Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into the world a long time ago as our Lord and Savior and as our sacrificial Lamb to make a way for us to be able to be saved and to spend all eternity with you. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that the Lord Jesus is the greatest gift the world has ever received on that first Christmas. And thank you for the privilege we have of not only being able to celebrate his birth, but I thank you for the fact that by your mercy and grace, he grew up and he is our Lord and Savior, our risen King. We thank you and praise you for the gift of Jesus. Lord, set us on fire afresh of your Holy Spirit. Stir us to have a passion to be about the work of evangelism and discipleship, not only during the Christmas season, but more and more as a lifestyle, knowing that the great work of the church is always to go forth as we simply follow you, listen to you, and serve you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson, he is our producer. He's going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the season. Father, we just want to take a moment this morning to remember your Son and to remember the gift that you've given us. And Father, just to say thank you. So thank you, Father, for all the life that you've made available. Thank you so much for your forgiveness of sins. Thank you so much for a new opportunity, a new way that we can grow. Thank you so much for the Holy Spirit that equips us, that helps us, that teaches us, that trains us. And Father, I'm just excited to see what else you have in store for us. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, as we often do, we share articles that we encourage you to email us to get copies of with the goal of you use them in your own personal spiritual growth, but also tools you can use for discipling your family and tools you can use to share with fellow church members, family members, co-workers, saved and unsaved individuals as well. And I'm going to take a moment to share one of those articles. It's entitled Walking in the Wisdom of the Wise Men. And please email us to get a copy. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. This particular one is a gospel tract slash article. So it's a tool to use to help share the gospel with others as well. So please, please email us to get a copy. We want to get it into your hands. Again, the title, Walking in the Wisdom of the Wise Men. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way." Again, that was Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The story of the wise men coming to visit Christ is a well-known story of Christmas found in the Word of God. Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 contain the whole Christmas story. A family is quote-unquote wise to take the time to read them all the way through several times throughout the Christmas and Advent season. Doing this and letting the children do most of the reading can be fun and interesting. Also, allowing the children to stop and ask all the questions they want to ask is also very fruitful. And you can learn much and have a lot of fun as a family doing this together. Specifically regarding the story of the wise men, there are a number of great life lessons we can learn and faith lessons we can learn from looking at what they did as they sought the king. Lesson one, the wise men knew God. It seemed that they had a close relationship with him. We too are wise to seek to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally by inviting him into our hearts to become the Lord and Savior of our lives. See John 3:16 and Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Lesson two, the wise men sought God. They apparently were men of prayer who sought him in prayer, and they came with the intention of worshiping the Lord. We are, as believers, called to seek God in prayer, praise, and worship daily as a lifestyle. See Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, Psalm 95, verse 6, and Psalm 100. Lesson 3, the wise men listened to God. It seems that the Lord spoke to their hearts to let them know the meaning of the bright star in the sky. It also seems that the Lord directed them to go and follow the star as it would lead them to find the Christ. Also, apparently the Lord guided them in the selecting of the gifts they would give to Christ and his family. The gifts were prophetic and pointed to some of the greatest callings upon the life of Christ. Gold is the gift you'd give to a king. Frankincense is a gift you'd give to a high priest, and myrrh is a burial ointment. So these are just a few important lessons we can learn from the wise men. We see that the story of the visit of the wise men who came, served, and worshiped Christ is not just a warm, touching story to be read during Christmas. It's a story that can change the life of any faithful disciple of the Lord in powerful and fruitful ways. Finally, seeking and finding the Lord Jesus is a wise pursuit for all people of all times. If you would like to know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior and invite him into your heart, we invite you to pray this or a similar prayer. If you'd like to take a moment to pray this and commit your heart and your life to the Lord now, we invite you, would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, the title of that article was Walking in the Wisdom of the Wise Men. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us again, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Please, again, email us to get it, because keep in mind, all of us have the wonderful privilege of sharing the gospel during the Christmas season. And this is very true that often people have a greater openness to hearing the gospel during the Christmas season than you'll find them to have in other times of the year. So the Christmas season is a wonderful time to do the work of evangelism and discipleship. And this article is one simple way that you can do it pretty extensively, to be honest with you, because it's not hard to send an email. You can send it to somebody who lives down the street or someone who lives on the other side of the world. So let's get involved in this very important work of helping to share the gospel this Christmas season. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege we as the church have of being involved in the work of sharing the gospel and the work of making disciples. Help us to know and discern, Lord, that you've called every one of us to be involved in this very, very important work. Help us as individual believers to be sure to be involved in this work. And Lord, help us as parents to use the Christmas season also as a time of evangelism and discipleship for our own families as well. Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that so many times many a child have given their lives to Jesus during the Christmas season. Help us as parents to be wise enough to help explain our children what the meaning of Christmas is all about, that it's about Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus and receiving him as our Lord and Savior, the greatest gift the world has ever known. Lord, help us to diligently be about the work of both sharing the gospel with our own children, our grandchildren, and other young people who we have a chance to be in touch with. But help us to be looking for opportunities in other places to be able to share the gospel. And help us, Lord, also to know that our testimony is a powerful, powerful tool that we're wise to use often to share the gospel as well. Thank you for this opportunity you give us to be involved in the wonderful work of telling the world about Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And once again, to get a copy of this article or any of the articles we share on the broadcast, simply email us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And one of the other articles that we've been sharing about pretty frequently is the one entitled Celebrate a Biblical Christmas. And of course, it's one that encourages you and your family to read through all the Christmas narratives. That includes Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 several times during the Christmas season. And if you will take the time to do that, you are going to learn some things about Christmas that you didn't know. Now, many of our listeners might be thinking, oh, I know all about Christmas. No, you don't. Neither do I. There's so much more the Holy Spirit can teach every single one of us about the wonderful story and the meaning and the message and messages of Christmas. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Please email us to get copies of these articles for your own growth and that of your family as well. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
He is the chorus to every song that we were born to sing. He is the rhythm
Music from For King and Country, Glorious. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We have, for the balance of our broadcast today, we're privileged to have with us in studio Pastor Wesley Pepper. He is the pastor of Amory First Global Methodist Church here in Amory, Mississippi, and also he's a presiding elder with the Global Methodist Church as well. Pastor Pepper, how are you today?
I am doing wonderful, and I am so thrilled to be here with you today.
Honored to have you to be with us, and thank you for taking the time to come. And would you take a few moments to further introduce yourself? And then we want to dive right in and let you share about what the Global Methodist Church is. There are probably some of our listeners who are probably thinking, I've never heard of the Global Methodist Church before, so we want to give you that opportunity. But would you take a moment now just to further introduce yourself to our listeners as well?
Sure. My name, of course, is Wesley Pepper, as you just shared with the listeners, and I've been the senior pastor at First Methodist in Amory for the last 8 years, married to Johanna, and we have four beautiful children. I tell people my oldest is seven, so I live in a daycare.
All right. And so again, thank you for taking the time to come to be with us today, and you said you've served there 8 years. Tell our listeners what the Global Methodist Church is.
Okay. So the Global Methodist Church was founded on May 1st of 2022.
So it's brand new.
It's brand new. We're still in the infancy of this movement. And the Global Methodist Church was formed to return to the historic roots of Methodism. A focus on humanity's need for conversion, to be born again, to be followers of Jesus Christ, a call to intentional discipleship where we are seeking spiritual growth and maturity, and this call to personal and social holiness in the world. And so that is the direction and the hope of the Global Methodist Church, that we move that way.
Well, would you take a moment now specifically, Pastor Pepper, to pray for listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them in it? Because you just used a term, intentional discipleship, which is a critically important truth for every believer everywhere, no matter what denominational family or group or church they might be a part of, because we're to be deliberate in the way we follow Christ, not accidental or just kind of on the side, but we're to be very intentional and deliberate about running after Jesus. Would you pray for listeners to have the ears to hear all God wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Absolutely. Let's pray together. Father God, I give you thanks for this time to share about your kingdom and your work in the world. Lord, I pray for the listeners today that you would stir up a heart for your kingdom, that they would seek after your righteousness, that they would hunger and thirst for your righteousness, Lord, and that we would all be about growing in grace, growing in our relationship with you, so that your kingdom might shine bright in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, Pastor Pepper, would you tell us, like, for example, again, as I mentioned, there are probably some listeners who are hearing the term Global Methodist Church for the first time. Would you share, why do you feel like, from your perspective as a pastor and a presiding elder within that new denominational family, why was there a need for a Global Methodist Church to come into existence?
Pastor Parker, I think it's clear that the church in America particularly is very divided. Two different trajectories, two different directions. And within mainline Christianity, there seems to be a direction of affirmation of everything that the culture endorses. And then there's also, I think, a heart and part of the church to move towards faithfulness to Jesus Christ, walking with Jesus Christ, seeking to live in the power of the Holy Spirit in the world. And one of the reasons, as a Methodist Christian, I am so thankful for the Global Methodist Church is this change of direction in American Methodism to move towards calling people to a relationship with Jesus, calling people to go deep in their relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I am so excited about the birth of the Global Methodist Church and the great revival that is taking place in the Global Methodist Church around the world.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Pastor Pepper, one thing I would say, too, that I think is such a powerful thing for us as believers to be mindful of is that throughout the history of the church, Satan has attempted to pull people away from the Word of God and to begin to let people, well, actually, from the beginning, his strategy was to question the Word of God and to say, isn't there another way or maybe even a better way from his perspective? And his strategy hasn't changed. He continues to try to pull people away from the Word of God. And so as God moves upon us as the church to stick with his Word, to stay grounded in the Word of God and guided by the Word of God as a clear guide and direction for every part of life, that's what the church, and of course, we know this, there's only one church. There are lots of denominations and stripes and that sort of thing, but the reality is the true church is to follow, to hear the Word of God and to follow the Word of God.
Amen. Absolutely.
Would you pray for the church as a whole in particular, as well as the Global Methodist Church, pray for us to grow an understanding of the need to be very diligent and just on top of staying in the Word in view of the fact that we know that Satan's clear strategy is to always pull us away from the Word of God, to veer us away, but the need for us to stay rooted and diligent to stay in the Word of God. Would you pray for that?
Sure, absolutely. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you right now, and we remember in your Word, in Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, in the very beginnings of his ministry, that Satan came to him and attempted to lead him away from your Word, to lead him away from you, to lead him in a different direction that did not involve a cross, that did not involve being faithful to your kingdom. And Lord, he continues that same strategy with your church today. And so, Lord, I pray that every believer that listens to the broadcast, every believer, Lord, around the world, that you would give them a desire, a hunger for your Word like never before, that they would have it on their mind constantly, that it would be written in the depths of their heart. And we just lift this prayer up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, to thank you for the church and thank you for the privilege you give us of being a part of your church, the body of Christ in the world, your hands and feet in the world. Lord, set us on fire fresh of your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit and stir us, Lord, to be committed to running after what you're committed to. Help us to be committed to your Word. Help us to be committed to be a people of prayer. In fact, Lord, you told us that your Word, that your house was to be called a house of prayer. More and more, help us as individual believers and as local churches to be committed to giving ourselves to prayer. Teach us how to do that and set us on fire with the Spirit of prayer and anoint us afresh with the Spirit of obedience. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that we're not simply to read your Word, we're to live your Word as well. It's a guidebook for how we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be faithfully living that out each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor Pepper, I want to go back to the word you used earlier that, again, I like the term intentional discipleship. And I think what part of what it brings to my mind is a wonderful term that John Wesley used that you don't hear very often. He used the term means of grace, which was more or less his way of saying, talking about spiritual habits. And that's such an important part of the Christian life. Would you share with our listeners about why both it's so important that we're intentional in our discipleship and why the importance of forming spiritual habits is such an important part of just being a faithful disciple of Christ?
Sure. And you know, it would probably be helpful to tell the audience that probably the greatest gift that the Methodist movement has offered the world, the Christian world, is this call to intentional discipleship. Mm-hmm. I mean, John Wesley was arguably not the best preacher in the history of the church. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that he was intentional about is that every time he preached, as people were converted to followers of Jesus, he organized them into small groups, class meetings, and band meetings. Mm-hmm. Where they would have accountability partners, where they would study the Word of God together intentionally, pray together intentionally, serve in the community together intentionally. And it was a requirement to be a part of the Methodist movement that you had to be a part of one of these intentional discipleship groups. It wasn't optional. You couldn't, you know, say, well, that's not for me. I don't want to give myself over to studying the scripture with others. I don't want to devote myself to praying with others. Mm-hmm. You had to be a part of that to be a part of the Methodist movement. And that same need, both communally within a group of individuals and also as individuals, on our own, one-on-one with God, this call to build in time to intentionally seek after, spend time with, listen to the voice of God. I mean, it's every believer in the world needs that, desperately needs that. How can we walk as followers of Jesus in the world if we are not spending time with Him?
Would it be accurate to say then that, like, the day, the tool that, and of course, obviously, this is not obviously something that you find within Methodist circles strictly, but the small group is a tool that continues to be used across the board in many denominations as a great growth tool for believers. Is sort of John Wesley's kind of idea kind of where that came from, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's really interesting to think that over the last 100 years, American Methodism has thrown Wesley's model of intentional discipleship into the dustbin. Hmm. And yet other Christian movements have seen great value in it and have helped people to grow and mature spiritually. They've increased numerically. I even know some Baptist brothers and sisters that are serving in large churches that said, "Well, what we do is from you. It's from Wesley. It's mm-hmm. It is Methodism." And so, in the Global Methodist Church, there is a great emphasis on recovering this. And in fact, I'm a part of a conference committee that is about to roll out some really exciting news about intentional discipleship and training churches to organize individuals in a group, give them a purpose, give them accountability for studying scripture, for devoting themselves to prayer, devoting themselves to service. And you're exactly right. When Wesley says the means of grace, he's talking about spiritual habits, holy habits, mm-hmm. That draw us closer to God, that help us to grow and mature in our faith.
And you know, Pastor Pepper, that's one of those topics that we could spend years on, actually, talking about the importance of spiritual habits. And I think of this like on a pretty regular basis. We like on this broadcast encourage people to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every day. Well, of course, that's a spiritual habit. Praying every day, that's a spiritual habit. Taking time to worship, that's a spiritual habit. There's a great preacher that some people would know, the name Smith Wigglesworth. He had a spiritual habit of he would get up every morning and dance in worship for 15 minutes. Now, there are lots of people think, well, I've never heard of that before. Well, you just heard it. You know, that's something he did. And that edified and encouraged him. But there are many other things that are means of grace or spiritual habits that strengthen you. But some of the very foundational ones are, of course, is, and as one preacher put it, he used the term PRO, P-R-O, referring to 3 foundational areas of spiritual habits. P, referring to a vibrant prayer life. R, referring to reading the Word of God daily. O, referring to obedience, live what you learn. And those sort of capture, you might say, in one form or another, all the rest of the habits too. So we'll pick up there on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor Wesley Pepper. He's the pastor of First Global Methodist Church in Amory, Mississippi, and a presiding elder with the Global Methodist Church. We'll be right back. Christmas to remember. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. And once again, I want to remind you again, if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a great day to start that habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. And remember this, when you're reading the Word of God, you're spending time with Jesus. You're spending time in the presence of Jesus, and it will strengthen you, encourage you. And so as believers, as adults, we should do it, and we should teach and train our children to do the same. Hope that you'll do just that. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor Wesley Pepper. He's the pastor of Amory First Global Methodist Church in Amory, Mississippi. He's also a presiding elder. Pastor Pepper, would you explain to our listeners, what is a presiding elder?
Well, I told you in the beginning that the Global Methodist Church was seeking to reclaim the historic roots of Methodism, focus on conversion, intentional discipleship, and holiness, but also the return to the use of the title presiding elder is a return to historic Methodism. Mm-hmm. When Methodists came to America, of course, we were growing rapidly, mm-hmm. and we had a problem. We didn't have enough clergy. We didn't have enough pastors, and so most of our pastors were lay pastors. They were lay preachers. They could preach as good as any clergy person under the sun. They could lead people to Jesus Christ, no problem at all, but they needed a presiding elder that would offer some administrative direction, some spiritual direction, as well as coming to the local church maybe just once a quarter to serve Holy Communion and baptize those who were ready to receive the sacrament of Christian baptism. Mm-hmm. And so we find ourselves almost in the same situation again. We find ourselves in a world that is hungry, desperately in need of a relationship with Jesus. We don't have enough preachers, right? And so one of the things the Global Methodist Church is doing is we are empowering lay preachers once again to have a important role in the life of the church, and an important role in even helping us to plant churches in the world. And so the presiding elder has a responsibility for a district, for an area, and those pastors that serve in that district to provide oversight, spiritual oversight, to provide administrative oversight, and really to help us to walk in unity in this work of making disciples of Jesus Christ and spreading scriptural holiness around the world.
Thank you for sharing that insight as well, then. So, Isaac, did you hear them? They said they need more pastors, you know. So just keep that in mind, you know. So, okay.
I will sign you up today.
Pastor Joseph has been trying to get me to make progress in that direction for a little bit. And honestly, I've been hearing a little bit of something in that direction, maybe.
Well, whatever the Lord wants, you know.
So absolutely.
Praise the Lord. Pastor Pepper, would you take time now specifically to pray for families? You know, of course, obviously, the family is amongst other things, a wonderful discipleship unit of the church, and it's so important for fathers and mothers to be very, again, intentional about discipling their children as opposed to just thinking, well, it'll happen by itself. No, it's important for everyone to be intentional in terms of being disciples ourselves, but also making disciples. And of course, we start in our homes. Would you pray for parents to be very intentional and deliberate about discipleship within their families and their homes?
Oh, absolutely. There's a great desire in my heart as a father with four children to actively seek to disciple and nurture my children in the faith. And what a great call for any parent to live a life seeking to point their children towards the Lord Jesus. So I'd love to pray over that. Lord, you've heard this request. Lord, we as parents are living in the middle of a mission field. We've been blessed with children, grandparents, been blessed with grandchildren, and Lord, we know that every person born in the world has a heart-shaped hole that needs to be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray for the parents and grandparents that are listening. And, Lord, I pray for those who are not listening to seek after you and to take seriously this call to disciple our children and our grandchildren, to teach them the faith, to teach them the Word of God, to lead them in prayer, to teach them in prayer. Lord, I remember Jesus' disciples asking him, Lord, teach us to pray. Father, I pray that our witness to our families would be like that our children would say to us, teach us to pray, teach us to pray, because they see the power of the gospel at work in our life, and they desire it, and they want it, and they long for it. And so, Lord, we just lift this up before your throne in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Pepper. You know, another area where the church, there's so much work to be done as far as the church is concerned in addressing this, is the fact that in our culture, many young adults, they're just not getting married. And yet, sadly, sometimes they're trying to utilize some of the benefits and blessings of marriage, but not choosing to marry. And the fact is, there's such a need for us to, as the church, to cast a vision, the biblical vision of what marriage is for, and that marriage is a good thing, too. Would you pray for the church to really help strengthen marriages and encourage marriage, an institution instituted by God to go forth as the Lord would have us to.
Yes, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the gift of marriage, the gift of a man and a woman joining together in holy matrimony, joining together before you literally so that they can serve you better. Lord, I pray for your church around the world. I pray for your church in America, that we would be the kind of church that would lift up this gift and covenant of marriage, Lord, and that we would, as believers, be married in such a way that it witnessed to the power of your kingdom and the power of your love in our lives. And so, Lord, we just we pray, Lord, and I pray for maybe those who are contemplating right now, should we live together or should we get married? I pray, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would call them together in you, joined together in you, for the sake and work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I too thank you and I praise you for the privilege we as the church have of being able to cast a vision, a biblical vision, not only for marriage, but for every area of life. Stir us more and more to be faithful to both live as biblical role models before our young people, but also to teach and train them that your way, which is the Word of God, is the best way to do any and everything. Help us to be committed to being diligent students of your word and teaching and training our children to be students who read it, but live it as well in the area of relationships and marriage and every other area of life as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Pepper, our time is almost gone. Anything else, any other word of encouragement or insight or wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners before we run out of time today?
I would just say what a blessing it is to be here with you and Isaac and for us to spend so much time intentionally going to God in prayer. I had a pastor friend of mine years ago had a very unusual complaint. Some of the leadership of his church said that he prayed too often in worship. I didn't know that was possible to pray too often in worship. Mm-hmm. And so what a blessing. We never waste a moment's time when we go to God in prayer. So what a blessing to be here with you guys this morning and to spend so much time intentionally speaking to the Father and listening for his voice. And then I would encourage our listeners that have any interest in the Global Methodist Church to go to globalmethodist.org. You can read all about this new denomination, this new Wesleyan Christian movement that is seeking to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus and then call them into a deep walk with him. I'm so blessed to be a part of what God is doing right now in the Global Methodist Church.
Amen. Share that website one more time.
It's globalmethodist.org.
All right. All right. Well, again, thank you so much, Pastor Pepper, for being with us today, and we appreciate you. And please keep up the great work. Praise God. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you are someone who has never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. Today, during the Christmas season, is a wonderful day and a wonderful time to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you'd like to make that step, would you take the time to pray with me now and commit your heart and your whole life to the Lord? If you would you simply pray this or a similar prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to live a life of prayer every day. And help me to obey you and follow you every day. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us to get that information that will help you to begin to grow up in your newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to being in touch with you. Also, if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, the title, Walking in the Wisdom of the Wise Men, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Remember, it is an evangelism tool / discipleship article. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Thanks, Pastor Pepper, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Amen. And thank you for being a part of our listening family.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.